Hello, and welcome to the Inside the Orange podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. First and foremost, I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to Ashton Smith for joining us last week. It was a very open and honest interview, as you know, and it was very good to be able to be a part of Ashton's story and help her share her message. On the show today, I'm joined by Connect With Your Kid author, Dr. Denny Coates. Now, I had Denny's business partner, Meredith Bell, on in an earlier episode of this season, and both of them talk and are very, very all about communication. Denny's work is more about parenting, or recently has been more about parenting and how to connect with your children, something that I think we could all learn how to do a little bit better. And it was great to have that conversation with Denny and just talk about how I, as a dad, could be a better parent. Maybe something I could do better, maybe something I could listen to here, or, you know, just something that is really relevant that could help me with my children. So that's going to be a great interview, and we're going to get into it in just a few minutes. But first of all, as ever, here's how you can get in touch with the podcast. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at orangewhats, orange, W-H-A-T-S. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes. So my guest today is someone that, when I think about being a parent, I've said the words, I could write the book on being a parent. But this gentleman actually has written the book on parenting. And it's my delight to bring him in today. It's Dr. Denny Coates. Denny, how's your day been so far?
Oh, great. Just great. Thank you. It's great being with you.
Thank you so much. So I alluded to there, you've written some books about parenting and understanding your children, communicating with your children well. Give us a bit of an intro. Before we get into the books, give us a bit of an intro, how it started, where it comes from.
Okay. Well, I graduated from West Point many years ago and became an Army officer. Served in the U.S. Army for about 20 years. And, and during that time, I had a lot of leadership experience. And so after I retired, I thought, you know, I think I can help supervisors, managers, executives in the workplace with some of what I learned. And so I started a company teaching adults in the workplace. I basically focused on how they interact. For me, leadership is about how one person is influencing the other through communication. And so you want to do that well. And I knew very well that very few people learn effective communication skills before they enter the workplace. It's just not one of those things. So that's the situation. And so I was able to help, and been doing that ever since. And during the last 10 years, I decided to focus on parents, because they're, in a sense, you know, they're leading their children towards an adult life. And there is this communication that has to happen. And if it happens well, then things go well. If the communication is bad, then it doesn't go well. But we want our kids to grow up to be happy and successful and independent. And so much of that depends on how we talk to our kids.
And absolutely, it is. And we've obviously spoken before we did this episode, and I've told you I'm a dad. I've got children as well. And one of the things that started with the podcast was when my children go into work, I want them to be understood. It's something I want. But you see it more as obviously a two-way relationship and kind of understanding the children and kind of giving the children that kind of level of understanding them rather than trying to protect them too much. Is that fair to say? It's not just about keeping the apron strings on your kids. It is also letting them have a bit of a life as well. Is that fair?
Well, you know, I think, as I said, the goal is that they end up adults who are happy and successful and independent. For that to happen, they have an awful lot to learn. And you can read, how old are your kids?
16 and 13, so teenagers.
Okay. Well, then you have memories of when they were small and toddlers and then going to school and then middle school and now adolescence, which is about a 10, 12 year period where kids become adults, their bodies, their brains, their attitudes, what they know about the world. All of that is a part of them becoming who they want to be. So for that to happen, you have a lot of wisdom and you have skills and you know things, and you know that when they were small, they didn't have this. And so you've been passing along ever since. And for that to happen, they have to accept your guidance. I mean, you could try, you could say something and they might blow it off. You don't want that. You want them to be open to you. So that's why how you talk to them, the way you communicate with them is important, because otherwise you kind of push them away.
So tell us about the books you've written, because they are kind of coaching manuals for parents. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Well, I've written half a dozen books for parents, and but the one I'm really keen on right now, I got it right here.
Yeah.
Called Connect with Your Kid. And it's basically a reference book, because in order for a parent to learn these skills, they have to practice them. So a part of that is being able to refer to the how-to. What do I need to be doing? And so that's the purpose of the book, is to be there when you're learning how to listen, or how to give feedback to your kids, how to encourage them, how to resolve conflicts, how to get them to think on their own two feet. You know, there's the right way, a best way to do this. So while a parent is learning how to improve the way they listen and so forth, then that the purpose of that book is to be a reference. And so that's the book that I want people to look at right now.
So if you don't mind me saying, I've interviewed early in the season, I interviewed your business partner, Meredith Bell, and you wrote the book together, Connect with Your Team. Now, obviously, this is now with children. Is it harder to connect with children? Is it a challenge, or is it the same kind of thing, but slightly different, slightly adjusted to help them? How does it differ? Is it harder?
Well, kids are people. Adults in the workplace are people. And so we help each other. You know, supervisors, leaders, and so forth, you know, they're guiding this group to their best performance to get them to accomplish the mission. And it's similar in a family. You want to guide your kids to grow up. So they're in a constant state of becoming, learning, adopting skills. Best case scenario, you know, you're setting a good example and you're helping them learn these things, because once they're gone, then they're on their own. I'm really appreciate this because when I was a teenager, I had 7 brothers and sisters. And so I just didn't have a whole lot of contact time with my parents. It was just, really, really busy for my mom and dad. And honestly, I didn't get a lot of guidance growing up. But I had to catch up as I left home and went to college and started my career. I just had a whole lot of things I had to learn. It would have been nice to have learned that when I was a teenager, but that's the opportunity right there.
No, absolutely. And is there a big problem with understanding our kids, or is this just a way that we can just be better at something, just improve on what we can already do?
Well, it's the thing about understanding your children is that they don't even understand themselves. They're becoming who their best self. They're becoming who they're going to be. And as I reflect on my youth, I was still becoming that person during the first 30 years of my life. So who they are right now is something that you can sense. If you ask open-ended questions, you'll learn a lot from them about who they are, what they're thinking, what's important to them, and where they're going with their lives. And the older they get, especially your 16-year-old, you have to admit, they're really in charge of their lives, a lot more than you are of their lives. So respecting that and just trying to stay in touch with who are they becoming, and are they open to any guidance that I can give them?
So do we fall into a trap though, when if we are too involved with our children in terms of trying to do everything we can for them, do we not become a little bit entrapped in having their goals or their wins as our wins? Do you know what I mean with that? So do we become too in their lives that we then can't differentiate between their wins and what we should just be happy for them for? Do you know what I mean? There's a lot on field with parents where they take their kids' wins as their own, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, they appreciating that they have their own lives, that they have their own selves. That's one of the things that a parent can discover and keep discovering if those lines of communications are open. If you can connect, if you can contact, and if you can engage with them still, then you'll be in touch with that. And so, one example is your religion, for example. Well, that's important to you. And you would like your kids to have a strong faith. And so maybe you would like them to have your faith. But the truth is, they need to discover that on their own. And so as they create themselves, as they learn what they have to learn and become what they're becoming, then that may not be the road that you chose for them. But that doesn't mean it's a bad road.
No, and I suppose, for an example, I remember my youngest son, we're big soccer fans, football fans in the UK, and I used to take my sons to watch football with me. And my youngest son turned to me and said, "Dad, I don't really like this." And he said, I'm sorry to tell you this, I'm not a big follower. And I was quite impressed with the fact he was apologising, but I said, "You've got nothing to apologise for. You've decided exactly. You don't want this, but I love the fact that he felt that he may have let me down by not loving this, but actually, and the confidence for him to say, "I don't like this," is really important. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. My kids are in their 50s now. So I haven't been a dad all that for, really nurturing and parenting and so forth for a very long time. But in my family, of course, we have our 2 cats. my wife and I are very different, but very close. you know, very strong love relationship there. But the things that she's interested in and the things that I'm interested in are very, very different. Even for recreation, like you, that example you gave, I can't think of a single television show that she watches that I care about. Not one. I can't. In fact, I can't watch them. I feel like, you know, I'm wasting my life or something if I watch them. And she doesn't like any of the shows that I like. So just by necessity, if we're going to amuse ourselves in the evening, we have two separate TVs. So it can happen. You can be very, very close to a person, respect them, want to support them, but you know, not really buying into the same things and not valuing the same things. It's, and the same with the children.
But it still comes down to communication, doesn't it? Actually having, you know, the kind of guts to say, to have that open communication with someone and say, well, I don't really like your things, but I respect that you do, but I'm going to go and do something else.
Yeah. So that they feel, even though they know they're different from you, they feel respected. Mm. That's, I think, a major outcome of good communication, is that they don't feel like you're criticizing them just for the fact that they're different.
Mm. Back to the kind of the understanding of children then. I asked you this before, off air, of course. Do we underestimate our children? Do we not give them the credit that they actually deserve?
Well, that's a good question. I like to think of that in terms of who do we think they are? Who are they becoming? And, you know, if you can, if you're able to draw that out and keep in touch and learn and hear what they tell you, then you can be in touch with that. I think it's possible, and maybe even tragic, when parents lose touch with who their kids are and where they're going and what they believe and so forth. So that's kind of my mission in life right now, is to give them the tools, give them the skills that'll keep that relationship tight.
Yeah, and it is important. And I was thinking, obviously, about things like legacies. You know, early on I said about letting your children live your life, don't have win their goals. But do we restrict our kids as well because of our fears? Do we start to, like, put too much of an onus on it because something might go wrong? And do we not allow our kids or want our kids to make mistakes? Is that something that's quite a common thing?
I think it is common. I think it's unfortunate. I mean, how are you going to learn how to deal with a world that is complicated, unforgiving, and dangerous even sometimes, if they don't learn to do that before they leave home? And the only way to learn to do that is by experiencing it and learning from those experiences while they're young. Otherwise, you end up as an adult not knowing what to do next or not knowing how to cope. So yeah, we want to actually, I think there is a line that you can draw, and the line is my child in real physical danger? So you don't want them to get exposed to an addiction, for example. You don't want them to get beaten up on the street. You know, you don't want them to die in a car accident. Those are the things that you want to be protective about. But making mistakes, I mean, that's good news. That's how we learn. And so that's, in fact, one of the skills that I teach in the book, Connect With Your Kid, is how can you help your child learn from a success or a mistake or a shortfall?
And that's important. And I think I was speaking to Meredith on when I did the podcast with her, and I spoke about technology. Now, I think one of the questions I asked Meredith was, does technology make us lazy communicators? And now, in a time where we've got kids with online gaming, which again, we talk about the safety and making sure that they do things safe, but online, there's the smartphone now that is, they can get anything or anywhere on their smartphone. Has technology caused us an issue, or is there a potential for it to actually be a good tool?
I think technology has wonderful benefits. I mean, think about it. You could buy and sell stocks on a phone without even talking to a human being. You can learn anything that's available, any kind of information that's available on planet Earth. You can connect, you can stay in touch with people. So it's powerful. I love my phone, but a tool that powerful can be misused. It'd be easy to, for example, spend 3/4 of your day looking at this tiny little screen instead of interacting face-to-face with your friends, instead of going over to their house, instead of calling them up and hearing their voice. One of the important things that kids have to learn is how to relate to other people, how to be a friend, how to be a, how to make a relationship. And that's not easy. It, you know, a work relationship, a friend relationship, any kind of relationship. And it involves communication. So if you're texting back and forth, are you really communicating? It can take the place of really getting the experience of a face-to-face communication. It would be an awful outcome if a child grew up to be an adult and didn't have the chance to learn how to communicate with others with confidence, knowing that what, you know, what they say and what they're hearing, it's all good. So a phone, the technology could become a substitute for real life. And you don't want that to happen. So what's the answer? The answer is those lines of communication between you and your child. So it's possible to talk about it and discuss it and share opinions and ideas about the technology and agree on some common sense ground rules for using it in a healthy way, because after all, there are many, many benefits to the technology.
I think it's really interesting because recently, and this is something that's it's kind of come into my forefront of my mind, I have to take my oldest son to his kind of college now. He's, you know, he's out of high school, he's now doing a college thing. And I've had to have more and more car journeys with him. Now, he is an easy lad that will just pick up his phone and be texting and be doing all that. But because we've been in the car more together, just me and him, and we're starting chatting about lots of different things. And I come back to my wife the other day and I said, do you know what? This relationship with him is, I love taking him to college because this time I get with him and his phone's never in his hand because we're having that conversation. But yeah. It would be so easy to say, yeah, I'm concentrating on the road, you know, just drive. But I enjoy that. And it's so funny sometimes that you get these moments when you'd least expect them. And as I say, that's a moment I've just now thought, actually, this is enjoyable because we're communicating together. We're actually talking. And guess what? He's not bored of you because he's not got his phone in his hand and he's lost in it. So obviously that engagement means something to him too.
Absolutely. I think it's a smart thing that, that parents become sensitive to the opportunities for these kinds of interchanges. Here's one that's not very good. Kid comes home from school, is tired, frustrated, anxious, just wants to chill. Doesn't want to talk to you. Okay, that's the wrong time. You may have a great need to hear about what's going on with them, but it's the wrong time for them. And being sensitive to that, but what is a good time? And you just mentioned one, you know, when you're off together doing something cool. You know, one of the things that's very important, and I'm sure you do a good job of this, is just having dad time with your child. Many kids don't have that, but they need time with you and they love it. And so, hey, let's go have a soda. Or let's go for a walk in the woods. Let's go hunting. Let's go fishing. Let's play golf. You know, whatever. You know, let's go to college. These are times when it's just you and your child, and it's the opportunity. And you know, I think one of the secrets is they crave it. They, I mean, there may be these times where there are arguments and so on, but they really crave your love and your respect and your understanding. And so being able to talk to you at, like, you know, adult to adult, to a teenager, man, they love that.
And, you know, it's so interesting you said that about the end of school or end of college day when they don't want to talk. My other son is very similar to that. He'll come home, and if me or my wife say, how's your day? He'll come in, don't stop asking me all these questions. We've asked him one. We've asked him one question. Do you know what I mean? But he needs that time to, the you know, get away from school, finish his day, and then when he's ready, he'll come and he'll talk about anything. And it's really important you said that, because I saw that and actually sent, it was on a picture form, you know, where you get those quotes and everything. And I sent it to my wife and she was like, yeah. And it's just sometimes, as I say, it's just being consciously aware that maybe it's our need to say, how was your day? Tell me everything. How was it? It's not necessarily their want, is it?
Right. So once you have these really good opportunities to connect, think how important it would be if you're able to ask questions in a way that they feel like you really want to know, that they can share what they're thinking, and to get good at that. And then when they do talk, to be a really good listener. Those are two really powerful skills right there.
Do you feel that as a parent, you've got to do more of the talking?
No. I think as a parent, you needed to be a super powerful listener. Okay. But on occasion, you can, for example, ask your child, would you like to know what I think about that? And if they say, yeah, you know, well, then you can offer your wisdom. But most of the time, I think just understanding who they are today, because tomorrow they're going to be different. Next week, next year, they'll be different. Hopefully, you know, for the better. But just, not, you know, that's a good question. And I think more listening, less talking, and do listening well.
And I love the word you used, wisdom, right? So again, when do we get to that point where I refer back to your work with Meredith in the Connect With Your Team. When do you end up getting to that point before you are giving the answer? So that was something that when we listen, I read from your other book, that you listen, but you shouldn't listen for a wait to go, well, this is what I think you should do. How do we stop? How do we give that wisdom without just going, here's the answer, kids?
There are many alternatives to giving advice. What if you're wrong? I mean, that's not your life we're talking about. It's the child's life. What if maybe it works pretty much for you when you were young, but what about they're different? And so you could give advice. You may think it's good advice, but it may not be that great. And besides, do you expect them to follow it? Do you expect, what will happen? I mean, if it doesn't work out and they do what you say and it doesn't work out, then they blame you. They need to learn how to live themselves, make choices. So here's what I would do. I would say, well, you know, it sounds like you've got this situation here. What do you think you ought to do? That's an open-ended question. It invites them to think. And the more open-ended questions like that you ask, the more thinking they will do. And the more thinking they will do, the better thinkers they'll become. Because thinking is a skill. It's a cluster of many skills. You want them to practice those thinking skills. So asking open-ended questions is one of the most powerful things a parent can do. And you know what? When you do that, they feel respected. It's sort of like, Dad wants to know what I'm thinking. Dad cares what I'm thinking. He appreciates that I have things to say. And that's a good message.
Well,
I wouldn't give advice. I would encourage them to think it through and solve it on their own.
And I want to take you back to when you started this, we started talking about leadership and parenting. And a bit of a cheeky question, but in the relationship, who is the leader? Are the parents leaders, or are we just falsely informed that actually we are being led 100% by our children and everything?
I think the skills involved in leadership can be applied to the home. And my focus in leadership, my focus in parenting is communication. And so if you think, well, what are the top communication skills at work? What are the top communication skills with my family? And the answer is they're the same. They're not different. When you learn how to be a great listener as a parent, you can take those skills to your friendships, to your work, and use the exact same skill there. So.
And how does the parenting dynamic with that? Because maybe sometimes you're leading as one person. If you're a CEO, if you're leading as a single manager, when you're a parent, you are co-leading, aren't you? So how does that change much? Or does that just mean you've got an ally?
As I mentioned, there is a vast overlay of similarities between leadership at work and being a parent leader. But I don't like to think of parents as leaders. I like to think of them as adults who are raising other adults. And so we're doing this together. And you'd be surprised how much kids actually feel they're in charge of their lives, not you. And that's a good thing.
No, it's definitely given me things to think about, because as I say, I sit here not only as a podcaster, I sit here as a dad, and you know, we think we've got it made. And again, it was a bit of a cheeky intro when I said, you know, we all think we've written the book on parenting, and you know, you have written a book that helps people understand parenting and understand their kid. You know, that's what it is. And I could talk for hours. One of the things that really kind of piqued your interest, when I said that my kids were slightly older, you said that's a different thing. So how different is it from teenagers from that first primitive early years? And is there parenting beyond? So do you parent beyond the teenage years when they are adults?
I don't. No, man. The whole point of parenting, and by the way, what do you have, 18 or 20 years to do that? So the whole point is for them to become self-sufficient. They're on their own. They have to work through their issues on their own. They have to solve life's problems on their own. And the things that really work well, if you're a good communicator as a parent, you can continue to do that. In other words, asking those open-ended questions. It sounds like you had a horrible day, sweetie. What do you think you're going to do about it? What are your thoughts? Okay, if you actually do that, what do you think will happen? There, you do, just keep on doing it. You just keep, encouraging them to continue to grow, continue to get more skilled, because they have the same challenges that you do now. You know, I have a great relationship with my two sons. But I think of them as, you know, really adult people. I don't think of them as kids. And I haven't for a very long time. And for good reason, I think they're both smarter than I am. For seriously. Except when it comes to certain life issues. But they have great minds. Both of them are in IT, computer programming and systems analysis and things like that. So I have a lot of respect for who they are. I don't parent them. I would never give them advice about anything. I know they wouldn't like it if I did.
No, that is so interesting that, you know, it's that point. But was there never ever any conflict of like them thinking, look, Dad, I need help, you know, help, you know, that? And again, I asked a similar question to Meredith. Sometimes people get frustrated if they feel they're not getting the answers they need. How does that work?
I think it's a good thing to share stories. I, you know, if I ever got that kind of a plea from one of my boys at this time, at this point in life, I would say, you know, I had a similar situation when I was young. Would you like to hear that? It was after I got back from Vietnam. Kind of interesting. Would you like to hear about that? Of course, they would love to hear about that. And so I'd tell them how I handled it. And with the caveat, you know, hey, son, this is not the same situation that you're dealing with. So I don't know. What's your next step?
I like that. Do you know what? The kind of what really made me think, because you were telling that, I'm sitting here and I host a podcast where the idea is that people share their stories and people come on and tell people how to help, but no one gives a definitive answer. But this might help someone. And this is what the process of the whole podcast is. Actually, there's enough people in the world, if we start sharing stories, if we start talking about things, that people might start thinking differently and thinking for themselves. So what you're exactly saying is the premise of my podcast. Yet it took me a few minutes of that going, hang on, how does that work? But we do it by sharing stories. And when we see shared interests or we see differences, that's where we learn, isn't it?
You know what? Storytelling is amazing. How else can you share your life with someone else? Think about that. You have your own life. It's kind of a journey. You know, the journey was created by you one choice at a time to create this path that you've been on all this time. And this other person you care about, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your child, maybe it's your best friend, they're on their own journey and it's not yours. And you don't know all of the things that are going on with them. And if you want to be close to them, if you care about them and you want to be close to them, you got to tell stories. You got to share what your journey has been like from here to here. And they have to do the same. And when you do that, then you get more of an understanding of who my friend is, who my wife is. My wife is very different from me, but we share a lot of the same things. But I'm respectful of the fact that my life is not her life. And I don't know what is going on with her right now. And only way I could know is if she tells me.
Do we sometimes feel then the influence that we feel we need to influence people more than we do need to influence them, if you know what I mean? Do we take that word influence and go, actually, I'm going to put my views and my opinions on what you need to do to fix this problem or to go forward in life? Is that a bit of an issue where we should actually step back from that influence a little bit?
I think we should do less of that. I think just trying to understand who your kids are. More empathy. And empathy is something you feel, and it's something you express. You feel it, then you express it. And it's sort of like trying to sense what's going on with them right now, and I'm not sure, but I'm going to try. You use your understanding of who they are and what you imagine they're going through, and that's the best you can do, and you can check that out. And I think that's what we should share and try and not try to make them go down a certain path that we think is better for them, unless the path that they're headed on is dangerous.
Yeah, safety comes.
For example, any kid could become addicted to any number of things, same as an adult. So you need to share your stories of addiction.
No, I get that. And again, I think sometimes we're scared to do that, aren't we? We're scared to show that. And I suppose that comes back to the vulnerableness of your story, the ability to show vulnerability in yourself, isn't it? Sometimes.
You share stuff like that and it draws you closer to your child. Now, my father was in the army also. He was a really good guy, but I didn't know anything about him. I knew he was a good guy. He liked to play golf, and so we would play golf with each other. But as I look back on it, his life was a mystery. I had no clue of what he thought, what he felt, where he had been. He just didn't share it. And I wish he had. That would have been good. More sharing.
His stories.
Yeah. Who, you know. And I do that now with my boys. My adult sons. Every chance I get, I tell them stories.
Do you resent not having that, though? Is it something that's driven you to make you want to do that? Is that a resentment, or is that just something you just go, look, it just happened that way?
I don't resent my dad at all because of his inability to share. It's just the way he was. He's a good guy. He was never abusive to me. He was respectful of me. But so, you know, he was a good dad in that regard and a provider. And it was a big family, 8 children, but it was a good experience. So, no, I don't blame him. He's just who he was. And we constantly are becoming, even now, I am becoming more who I want to be at the age of 76. I still am learning and becoming.
That's fantastic. That's such a great way of looking at it for yourself. So where can people find you? Where can people find the book, you know, and your other works? Because I know there's plenty more other works out there they can find.
Well, I think people who want to get to know me better, the best thing they can do is to go to my website, drdennycoates.com. It's drdennycoates.com. It's an interesting website because it's not all about me. It's sort of a portal to information that I feel parents ought to learn about. So I have several hundred links to other books, other websites, other experts, other articles, and so forth that I think that were helpful to me, and I'd like to share that with anybody. And so it's kind of a good place to go when you want to get information. So I, you know, it's just a website where a lot of information, and my books are described there too for people who are interested.
Awesome. And what's next? You said you continue to learn, you continue to grow, even as young as you still are. You know, what's next for you then?
Oh, well, I'm very committed to helping parents communicate better, and so yeah, you know. I wrote this book for that, but it's just a book. So I have more work to do. And what I'm into now is creating a course of, I've been recording videos, little 2 to 3 minute videos. The book, Connect With Your Kid, has hundreds of tips and insights and so forth. And so I'm beginning to share those with these little videos. So it's going to be a course, and my plan is to make it free. Free on YouTube, free on my website. Make them into podcasts, the audio portion. Just another way to help people listen better, encourage their kids better, resolve conflict better, and so forth. So that's what I'm headed, and I think it's going to take me about a year to get through all that. And it's fun. You know, I'm learning how to make videos. So no, that's what's next.
That's good. And again, it's just nice to get that accessibility. Like you said, the book is good. It's a good platform, but you want to give that to as much platforms as possible. You want people to find it. And like you say, it's so, you know, putting it out on YouTube for free and things like that is just so good, because I think like you said earlier on, we've got a thing now where we can find things on the internet that help. So we should be helping other people, and we shouldn't be saying it's going to cost you the earth.
Right. That's the idea.
Mm. No, that's brilliant. So last question I've got for you. So take yourself back to a younger person, like younger parent, even before you have kids, anything like that. What advice would you give yourself if you could go back?
When I was a young parent, I don't think the word parenting was even used. There was no source of knowledge about how to communicate better. I take that back. There was one book that was available in the 70s. It was called Parent Effectiveness Training, PET, by Dr. Thomas Gordon. An amazing book, still a powerful book. I recommend it. It's one of my favorites. That book existed then, but there were very little else. And so I just didn't have the knowledge. I didn't have the learning or even the idea that I could become a better communicator as a dad. So if I could go back, I would take this book with me. And I'd say, hey man, read this. I'd say, practice one skill at a time until you get good at it. That was what I tell my younger self.
And he might say, you look familiar, but I don't know why.
Oh, really?
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he would. I know, you know.
Much better looking when I was young.
Awesome. Well, Dr. Denny, look, thank you so much for coming and having a chat with us on the podcast. It's fantastic. And I said to you when we first met, I think there's chances where it'd be nice to have you back on to talk again, because I think as a parent, I'm growing in this journey every day myself, you know, and it would be good to have another chat, maybe a little bit down the line. So I would be so honored if you came back and had another little chat later on.
Well, let's do that. I have another passion, and that is the adolescent brain. And you have two adolescent kids.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a lot to talk about.
I think we've made that, actually, that's going to have to happen then. We'll have a talk about
it,
and then we'll make that a thing, because that is definitely going to happen. But from today, thank you so much for your time and coming to talk about it.
Rich, thanks for having me.
Thank you. So a massive thank you to Denny Coates there for bringing to us How to Connect with Your Children, with his books, Connect with Your Kid, amongst others. If you would like to check out Denny's work, then there will be links in the description and show notes for you to have a look at. My guest next week is the contemporary leader, a gentleman by the name of Chris Webb. Now, Chris listens to the podcast, and I know Chris personally, and he's got some work coming out soon that I thought was really, really interesting and really along the lines of what we looked for in the podcast. So I said, why don't you come and have a little chat? So he'll be coming on next week to talk about the contemporary leader. That's it for this week. All that there is to say is goodbye and take care. And as always, just stay tuned to find out how you can get in touch with the podcast. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at orangewhats, orange, W-H-A-T-S. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes.